Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning, good morning. It is June 1st, 2022. It's a beautiful day here on the Delmarva. Made it through the Memorial Day weekend. Beautiful. Really lucked out this weekend. Had beautiful weather. We actually live in an area where a ton of people come to go to the beach, and Memorial Day is that weekend. And Memorial Day can be iffy. Actually, both Memorial Day and 4th of July and Labor Day weekend can be iffy because you never know what the weather's going to be like. And I can remember in the past completely having a rained out weekend. And to be honest, I don't know where you're at, but our weather here has not been ideal. I mean, it's been fine, perfectly fine. But, you know, it's not been ideal for going to the beach. And we also had a huge storm that came through our area. It's probably been a few weeks, and just devastated the beaches here. And we've been trying to get it all put back together. But the weekend showed up, and man, the weather was spectacular. The people were happy. They came down. You know, as a person who lives here, I'm always like, ah, go away. You know, telling people, go away. You know, it's an inconvenience. They tie up the traffic, and they tie up the restaurants, and they tie up all the parking, and yada, yada, yada. But the reality is there's a ton of my friends and people that we support here in this town that really rely on this huge Memorial Day weekend. So super grateful that everybody got to come down, that wanted to, hopefully, and just beautiful weekend, and it looked like everybody had a great time. So, and hopefully all the businesses had a lot of success. But put that one behind us. That used to be a big drinking weekend for Tom. And not that, because honestly, I drink every day, so I don't know. Maybe I would do a little more social drinking. But man, Memorial Day used to be, especially when I was younger, when we were in our late teens and 20s and going to the lake and hanging out, Memorial Day was the big weekend. And whew, you know, it doesn't keep me up at night worrying that I can't drink anymore. I mean, I'm so grateful that I'm where I'm at least for today, that I'm not drinking. So I came out of this weekend and just, you know, no shame, no guilt, just really had a nice weekend. And, you know, I've talked about it a little bit before, you know, with my wife's job, her, you know, and our kids and, you know, we're really just kind of coming to the realization that, you know, not that we didn't think family was very important, but our family seems to be becoming more of a priority. And they've always been a priority, but my wife decided to take the summer off from working, and we're going to just try to reevaluate how we spend money. And, you know, so we can be more available to our children. You know, we have a 9 or 10 and 11 year old, and you know, we've just been so caught up prior to the pandemic. You know, we've all, I think, been so caught up in the grind and the money and the, you know, all of the things. And I don't know about you, but where we live, I mean, we're really, this area is taking a beating, you know, with the price of everything that's going up. And it was just like, maybe we should try and see if we can, you know, minimize what we do and see if we can get by on one income. And so far, it has been fantastic. You know, I'm a hairdresser, and I've always ever since I've owned a salon, I've always just paid myself 25% commission, meaning whatever I take throughout the couple weeks, I take 25% of it and pay myself that and leave the other 75% for the business. And I think that was smart in the beginning, but, you know, 10, 12 years later, you know, my paychecks have been, you know, and if you own a business or you're familiar with business, and I am not a business expert, I know one thing, don't steal from my company. Besides that, I don't know jack shit about business, but I know that early on, you know, it was good to pay myself a little and make sure that the business had money because, you know, in business, you can pay for like cars and cell phones and different things to the business as a little bit of a write-off. I'm not a tax guy. Don't take my advice, but that's kind of what we do. So what ends up on paper isn't always kind of what we get. But the fact is that my paycheck wasn't very high because I was only paying myself 25%. So when we decided to do this, I had to actually call my payroll company and say, listen, I want to pay myself more. I want to, because I was like, should I get a second job? How can I make money on the side? What, you know, what can I do to provide some more income so that my wife can be more of a stay-at-home mom? And I'm like, why don't I just pay myself more? So I called my payroll company and I said, I want to bump my pay up to 50% from 25%. And I got my first check, and wow, that's a paycheck right there. I mean, it's, you know, I'm a hairdresser, so it isn't that amazing. But it was like, it was 50% more. And that really makes a big difference when it comes to our monthly number. And just had a, you know, for me, making a big decision like this, or for my wife and I should say, but I do, you know, even though it's a decision we both make, I think separately we think about it and worry. And as a guy, you know, I'm already financially freaked out. So, you know, during the day I'd be like, this is going to be awesome. And then at night when I sit with my thoughts, I'm like, oh my God, are we doing the right thing? Is this too scary? And so just really been struggling with a lot of anxiety about this, but really trying to stay in the moment and really find the moment pretty safe, you know. It's like, and I told my wife this the other day. I said, listen, you know, we're not doing drugs. We're not drinking. I mean, we really, there's nothing that's stopping us from doing this. There's nothing that we can't work through. And, you know, I read that Daily Reflections, I think, last Friday, and it talks about that, the freedom. I said, this is it. This is the time where we try, you know. We are sober. You know, there's no hammer going to drop. I mean, yeah, could the an appliance go down or, you know, obviously something like that. But, you know, we're not getting a DUI. We're not getting arrested for drugging. You know, that we are free from. And it's just, you know, the big picture scary, but if we fine tune it down to the moment, it's perfectly good. And I think that that's what we've really been, I know for me, I've really been trying to focus on lately is really just staying in the moment. And my wife as well, you know, we talk and she goes into stores and I say, babe, but that's, you know, it doesn't matter anymore. You know, it doesn't matter the past. I mean, we don't close the door on it. We don't completely erase it, but it shouldn't have the power that it used to. And, you know, I think a lot of people are struggling with shit they can't control, you know. I went and saw my dad last night. He's got an irrigation system issue that's up for a whole other podcast. But I went by and saw him, and, you know, one of the things, and I think I've shared this in the past, you know, one of the things that I have to do with my dad is sit down and talk to him because having my mom that has passed, you know, that was his outlet. That was the where he could kind of blow off his steam. And now he doesn't have that. And so, you know, it's important, I think, for my father and I to sit down and really chat. And what usually happens is that he starts to express, you know, anger and fear of different things that aren't really relevant to him. One of them being, and I know that it's a sad topic, but, you know, all those kids that got killed. You know, I hate that. I hate that happened. I think that is absolutely horrible. But I also know there's not much that we're going to do about it. It's a gun thing. It's an NRA thing. You know, I mean, it's weird, right? You know, we don't want to lose rights. I don't own a gun. I'm not a gun person. But I also don't want to see people use the right to have a gun. Maybe one day I'll need one. I don't know. But for today, I don't. But a lot of people out there are very passionate about guns. And it's one of our rights. And I think people get afraid that if we give up a little of that right, that that will be the slow beginning to giving up the whole right. And people just don't want to see that happen. And I don't want to see that happen. I don't think we should not have the right to bear arms. But, you know, this whole thing that happened with this guy and shooting these kids and, oh, my God, it still comes down to the person pulling the trigger, unfortunately. I don't know when it happened, but this country really, you know, has dropped the ball when it comes to mental health. It's, you know, it's obvious with all the homeless people. We've just dropped the ball. And it sounds to me like this guy just had some mental health issues. Unfortunately, he chose a gun and did what he did. And, of course, our thoughts and prayers to all those families. But, you know, no offense, but it's none of my business. You know, I live in Delaware. I don't live in Texas. There's enough people in Texas probably trying to worry about this and figure it out. They don't need me worrying about it. And my dad's all upset about it, and I don't blame him. But I said, Dad, it's none of our business, right? You know, if this had happened down here at our elementary school, of course. You know, we stand up, we gather, we talk, converse, plead for change, something. But it's a community. And I said, the news, CNN, all these news outlets, they like us to think, they want us to feel like that the United States is a community. We're not a community. We're a united group of states, right? But community takes place, at least in my eyes. And of course, the United States has some sort of community, right? Because we are the United States. But in small situations, we are not a community. But the news would like us to believe that. The news wants us to react to things that don't even happen in our community. You know, I think I talked about it. I forget the little girl's name. But when I was a little kid, man, I think her name was Jessica, baby Jessica. And she fell down a well. In Texas. It's always in Texas, right? Just kidding. But she fell down this well, and it's like, I don't know if it was the beginning of CNN. I don't know if it is what pushed CNN into what CNN is today, this 24-hour news, but I remember it was 24-hour coverage. And the first thing I did is I think I asked my mom. I said, do we have a well in our backyard? And I remember going in the backyard looking around for a well. And we're in New Mexico. This is in Texas. But, you know, I'm acting like this is a problem that we all have. Like, oh, now we have wells in our backyard problem. And we didn't have a well. We didn't have anything. So I just remember, and I didn't think about it that much at the time, but, you know, it'd be years later where I'm like, why am I reacting to something that didn't even happen in our community, right? I mean, and of course, thoughts and prayers, and baby Jessica, they got her out, and everything kind of turned out for the better, right? But, you know, I told my dad, we can't worry about what's going on in Texas. They have enough people there to worry about it. But, you know, for a guy like my dad who's 85, he gets very caught up in it. And I was telling him, I go, this is what, you know, whether it's Russians or Indians or whoever that's out there that likes to post stuff on the internet, even Americans probably. But I said, this is the kind of shit that they post, and it undermines our relationships because we get so angry. And, you know, we don't, you know, we can post all this stuff and then old people reading and reacting and getting upset and sharing it through emails, because that's what happens. My dad and all his old friends, they like to send these emails to one another and they get each other riled up. And I'm like, you don't have the time to worry about what happens in Texas. You have enough to worry about right here. And you don't have, you know, he's 85. I don't know how many days he has left, but he doesn't have enough days to worry about this kind of stuff. You know, he needs to worry about drinking a lot of water in the day, having, you know, good food, exercising, trying to stay positive. Because when I basically got a hold of him yesterday, he was so upset, so mad. And, you know, it was a series of bad things that went on in Texas that ended up having that outcome. But there was nothing that my father or I could have done. And that doesn't mean we don't care. We do care. It's awful. But it's at the same time, I cannot react to everything that happens on this planet. Nor can my father. And it's just, you know, so I guess the point of all that was is that I'm really just trying to stay in the moment.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, the train, every 2 or 3 years, the train kills somebody. Every 2 or 3 years, yep. Everybody knows about the train, okay? You hear it constantly. I think the train is a way to find your way out of this life if you get hit by it.
Basically, that's what we live in, a quiet town. And it is, you know, it's funny. I listened to that song. That's from the new Killers album. And you know, when I lived out in San Diego, I lived in a town called Leucadia. And Leucadia is located just on the coast. You got the 101 that runs along the coast, the famous 101. And if you were, we lived on the west side of the 101, meaning we lived between the 101 and the beach. And all along the 101, which travels up and down the coast of, up the west coast, beautiful scenic, you know, route that, you know, if you can and you've got the time and the money and you can just take it from, you know, basically Tijuana up to Seattle, it's apparently a pretty amazing drive. I have never done it, but I did ride on the 101 from like Solano Beach over to Encinitas. It was, you know, it was along the coast. So, but along the 101 is a train track, and the train track, I guess, ran the whole length of the 101 up and down the coast. And you know, when I was living out in San Diego, you know, and I've shared this, I was on a lot of drugs. We were doing a lot of speed and drinking and smoking weed and somas. We would do anything. Basically, that was around, we would do it. And there was a lot of people that were, you know, unfortunately doing the same thing and unfortunately in some pretty dark places. And probably about once every 3 months, somebody would stand on the train tracks. And I'll never forget when, I never knew who it was, but somebody had stood on the train tracks and was hit by the train. And I remember them just picking up all the parts down the tracks. They had covered them all with yellow blankets. And, you know, I was like, God, you know, And, you know, I don't know the story. I don't know why. They may have just, you know, like in the song, just been walking on the tracks, didn't realize and got hit. I don't know what the story was, but in my mind, I feel like it was probably because of, you know, just despair, right? Loneliness and despair. And, you know, I've been there. I've been in that place. You know, I love to talk about being sober, and I love to talk about all the wonderful things, but just the despair and bleak outlook that I had before I got sober, it's like two different human beings, right? You just don't realize, you know, and I, like I said in that reading the other day, it talks about freedom, right? And I just didn't realize, I thought freedom meant like not being in jail. But there's so many different aspects, so many different facets of freedom, right? You know, people say, oh, I got to take care of my kids. You get to take care of your kids. And because of the freedom that you have, it allows it to be able to happen. You know, there's been times in people's lives, I'm sure, where they've had to not be able to see their kids. You know, I've been lucky enough to never have that happen. But I know, you know, we can get to a place where, you know, our visits need to be supervised. You know, whatever it is we've done, we have to prove to somebody that we aren't going to ever do that again. So whether it's supervised visits, God, I'm trying to think here, supervised visits or whatever it is. But, you know, that you are not free to be with your kids alone. You know, so all of the different, you know, like I shared that one day, I said, I'll never forget driving home from my first meeting sober after dark. You know, I hadn't driven in a car sober after dark for many years. I was a drunk driver, a buzz driver, all of it. I did it all. But I wasn't in jail, right? I wasn't locked up. I was able to do stuff. And just realizing, you know, all the shit that I used to have to worry about. You know, I live a pretty simple life today, thank goodness. And when things do come up that I do have to worry about, I do worry about them. Sometimes I worry a little too much about them. And because self shows up, right? It's like, hey, this isn't going to be good, right? You know, self likes to tell me that it's not going to be good. We need to worry about this all the time. You know, I was talking to my buddy this morning, and we were talking about painting. And he goes, oh, it gets another coat. I go, oh, it's too hot for a coat. And he goes, what? I go, it's too hot for coats. Like, just a stupid joke, right? And he laughed, and then he's like, see you later. And then I'm driving off. I'm like, why'd you say that? Well, that was dumb, right? Well, now I'm worried about this stupid joke I said. And I can tell you, he doesn't care, right? But for some reason, self just likes to find the dumbest little things and start worrying about them. So from the point, from where I left him all the way over here, I was thinking about it. Should I have said that? Was that too corny? I mean, it was almost like a Seinfeld episode. And then I've been thinking about it for like 15 or 20 minutes. Now I've wasted 20 minutes of my life worrying about a joke. And it was funny, I thought, you know. And I think he laughed. So, but, you know, it's just shit I like to make up. And now I have to say, listen, it was a joke. Whether he liked it or not, it is what it was. And we're past it. I got to get the studio back together. I got an artist coming in today. Whiskey, his name, I forget, Whiskey something, but he's gonna, you know, we started a new podcast for music. So, you know, I took the studio apart yesterday. We're trying to make some changes here and get everything back together. So I'm like, I gotta get to the studio. This is what I have to worry about. I don't need to worry about some stupid joke I said, but for some reason that dumb little joke I said has been weighing on me all morning, and I'm like, this is really stupid. And that's the kind of shit that starts happening to my father. And the problem is my dad isn't, you know, he's not sober, but he doesn't drink, but he's not programmed. He actually comes from a generation that a lot of the shit that I find comforting or grateful for, he finds fucking kind of stupid, right? Feelings, humility, these different things what does humility even mean? So his generation, they weren't a feeling kind of group. And so to try to tell him, hey, you know, don't worry about this shit. You know, this isn't important. I told him yesterday, it's none of your business. Huh? What do you mean it's none of my business? I go, well, it's none of your business, Dad. I mean, really. Is there anything you're going to do? Is there anything you can do? I mean, how many times have we even seen this happen? I know it's going to happen. Nothing. Nothing's going to happen. You know, we can't be mad at the police. We can't be mad at the guns. We can't be mad. If we're going to be mad at anything, just that people are out there that are so sad and so annoyed and pissed off that this sounds like a solution for them. That's what's a bummer. You know, when you're having a hard day, the least thing you want to... The idea you don't want to cross through your mind is that I think I'm going to shoot up a fucking school. Right? Somewhere else something has gone wrong. This is like... You know, it's like getting in a car accident when you're drunk and, you know, saying, well, you know, this could have all been solved if you hadn't been drunk or hadn't driven. But there's a lot of other problems that go on before that. You know, the fact that I even drank and considered driving as an option, that isn't discussed. So, you know, whatever. Let's see if we can read a Daily Reflections, and then I will get out of here. And this is just me thinking. This is no advice. You know, however you handle things is however you handle things. Oh, here we go. A changed outlook. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 84. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. When I was drinking, my attitude was totally selfish, totally self-centered. My pleasure and my comfort came first. Now that I am sober, self-seeking has started to slip away. My whole attitude towards life and other people is changing. For me, the first A in our name stands for attitude. My attitude is changed by the second A in our name, which stands for action. By working in the steps, attending meetings, and carrying the message, I can be restored to sanity. Action is the magic word. With a positive, helpful attitude and a regular AA action, I can stay sober and help others to achieve sobriety. My attitude now that I am willing to go to any lengths to stay sober. Yeah, that's awesome. That was one of the cool things. You know, these are the things that you hear when you first come, or these are the things that I heard when I first came into the program. You know, that our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. That, I think, isn't that a promise? That may be one of the promises. But I was like, wow. First of all, I didn't even think I had an attitude problem, right? I was so oblivious to my fucking disgusting behavior that I just thought I drank too much. I just thought I got caught. That's all. I did not think I drank too much. I just thought I got caught at it. And, but for my whole attitude to change was really mind-blowing for me. And I love that. When I was drinking, my attitude was total selfish, totally self-centered. My pleasure and comfort came first. That, to me, is the devil. I've talked about this before. But that is, you know, I was talking to my wife. I go, you know, I've been slowly starting to think that we're more devil's children trying to change and become God's children more than God's children. Because, I mean, we come out so self-centered, and I think I've said before, it's important for survival and it's important to live, but it's all self. And that's the same thing when I was drinking. It was my attitude was totally selfish, totally self-centered. My pleasure and my comfort came first. Now that I am sober, self-seeking has started to slip away. Very, very cool. All right, well, anyway, I just wanted to get this podcast out. I wanted to, it's been a few days. Like I said, I hope everyone had a great Memorial Day, stayed sober. If not, just start over and pick up where you left off. Have a great day. Bye.